And this is my absolute favorite part. She looked at me and goes, okay, you have two options right now. I take you or you go by ambulance. Well, me being a man, me being a Marine.
Stubborn, I imagine.
Know, I'll retest. We'll go Monday.
Oh, no.
No.
Good.
She
Good
goes,
for you, Amber.
Yeah. You have A and B and that's it.
Yeah,
so
you're going.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
In this episode, we have Mike Deckard, a U.S. Marine, cancer warrior, and passionate advocate for hope, love, and connection. His mission is simple: to remind people, especially those who are sick, hurting, or feeling alone, that they are not forgotten, that their light matters. Mike's story is one of service, resilience, and deep commitment to helping others see their own value. He's here to share not just his personal journey, but also his purpose, making sure others feel loved, seen, and part of a bigger family. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Glad you're here. And also shout out to Amber, who's also here, your wife.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, appreciate her. She's in the studio today, but didn't want to be on the mic, so we'll let that fly. We'll let that go.
She's a little shy.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you what, before I got into podcasting, I think I'm very introverted. You know, I talk to my wife, like I don't like to go out and party or anything like that. But yeah, I don't know. I got on the mic and it comes naturally, I guess. So we should have a great episode. And before we start, for some of the listeners that know me, they know I go by Sully. And I was talking with Mike and Amber. And Mike, why don't you tell the listeners what your kind of nickname has become?
So in our house, I'm known when we get goofy as Mike Wazowski.
So today, listeners, you got Mike and Sully on the mics. So welcome, everyone. And, you know, Mike, I really want to start out with your personal journey. You served as a U.S. Marine. Can you share what led you to enlist and what were those early years like before service and then also while you were in the service?
So what's crazy about it is when I was in high school, never thought about the military. I was just that normal teenager growing up. 1997, I walked into a recruiter's office for some unknown reason. And instead of walking the Air Force or anything, I walked in directly into the Marine Corps and Mall. And within 2 days, I had signed the contract. Bad part is, I didn't tell my wife at the time, or my fiance at the time, what I did until after I had done it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That must have been a conversation.
Oh, it was. But it turned out for the best, and here we are. You know, we survived it. Marine Corps was probably the second hardest thing I've ever done now. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, that 90 days in boot camp was an amazing time. I would redo it any day I could.
Really?
Absolutely.
What was it about that time in boot camp that you would do it again in a heartbeat?
Not only the brotherhood that you form from day one, when you get in and step on those footprints, it starts that they teach you, you are not a single person any. You are a unit. You are a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And every single thing you do in boot camp proves that. And they just teach you honesty, commitment, loyalty to your brothers. And being that hard on you, they break you down.
Okay.
But they build you right back up to a better person.
And it sounds like it's a very tight brotherhood. Absolutely. Almost like blood.
It truly is. It
truly is. Now, growing up, did you have siblings? Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two brothers and a sister.
Okay. Are you the youngest or the oldest out of that group?
I am, as my mom used to love to tell me and joke with me, I was the accidental middle child.
Okay.
Oh, I do have a younger brother, but I mean, we're a pretty good family. You know, every family has their issues, but hey,
yeah,
we're family.
There you go. And that's what it's all about. You know, at the end of the day, that's what matters the most, you know, family and close friends. So growing up, did you play any sports?
I didn't. I actually had I don't want to say a rough childhood. My mom and dad were split up. They went through a very rough divorce, raised by my amazing aunt and my uncle. So in the school, I just kind of was with my dad, but just never went into sports. Okay. I just kind of stuck to myself and had my friends hung out and, you know, grew up into what we have today.
And were you, where'd you go to school? Where did you grow up?
Elko.
Oh, okay. So you're local.
Oh, yeah.
Local,
I've been local all my life.
Okay. Phenomenal. And do you think, you know, because you committed to the Marines in, what do you say, 2 days, you know, do you think having siblings, even though you weren't in like a sport, like football, you didn't have that brotherhood, but do you think your choice to get into the Marines was something looking for like a higher calling? Or do you think you were looking for that brotherhood, that tight-knit family?
I'll be totally honest. I want to say it was one of the commercials that drew me to it.
Really? One of those badass commercials?
Yep.
Yeah.
And when I went in, the recruiter was straight honest. And he's like, we're not going to sugarcoat nothing. It's going to be hard as hell. But he was honest. And I think that was it. It was just the honesty was there. And that was what I was looking for.
Yeah. And now when you said they broke you down in boot camp, take us through, you know, what that was like. Because, you know, a lot of civilians, you know, the average Joe, never went through that experience. You know, what is it like getting broken down by the Marines and then built back up?
4:30 wake up call, and you don't get woken up gently. It's either by a trash can getting beat on, screaming by four or five DIs at the same time.
Yeah.
You jump out of your rack. They tell you to get dressed. You have 2 minutes. And if you're not dressed, you're getting screamed at the whole time. If your rack's not made right, you're screaming. Like, everything they do is to get you to understand the fog of war. It's not going to be quiet. It's not going to be, you know, soft and gentle. It's going to be hurry up, get it done. And then when you don't do it right, or even if you do it right, they're going to put you in PT.
Yeah.
And you're going to sweat.
Okay, well, what was that like in PT?
I've never had sand in so many places that sand should not be.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. All the crevices.
I probably ate about a pound to 2 pounds of sand.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They don't have that on the commercial.
No.
They don't have that on the commercial.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah.
They will kick sand on you. They will have you throw sand down your pants. But it's so you understand you can work through the pain. You can muscle through it, and you can still do the job that needs done. And once they get you to the point where you stop realizing it's not I, it's us, it's we, they build you up into the team. And then you start realizing that without your brother beside you or the one behind you, you cannot complete the mission. And it doesn't matter what the mission is, because if your brother's there, you can do it.
You can do it. Yeah, it's not I. It's
absolutely
it's us. It's we. It's team.
And the first time you go in boot camp and say I, you will never hear again.
Really? Because they're all in your face yelling.
Their brims are hitting you on the forehead.
That close?
Oh, yeah.
Did they get that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all spit on your face. I mean, it's...
Wow.
But it's... And if you ever see the YouTube video, there's one where the DIs are absolutely soaked in their tan shirts.
Okay.
That is every day.
Wow.
The DIs do not cut back ever until the last week of the Crucible, which is 72 hours of everything you learned. No sleep, constant marching, 3 MREs, and that's it.
Okay, okay, hold on. Okay, so take us, you mentioned, was it, I'm sorry, I'm just drawing a blank right now, that's but okay. Yeah, like two letters, what were you saying?
MRE.
Well, MRE, I think I know what that is. That's your food rations?
Yes.
So for 72 hours, you're awake the whole time?
Pretty much?
You get very little sleep?
5 hours sleep.
Wow.
In 3 days.
And then you only get three MREs?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yep.
For 72 hours?
Yep.
So like one meal a day?
Yep.
Pretty much. Wow. So that is like, you mentioned, you called it like the crucible.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like? So you're just, that's just pure, I don't want to say hell, but it sounds like pure pushing the body to its limits.
Yes. Yeah. So it's you're doing training exercises, but what they're having you do, it's almost like a 3 mile obstacle course.
Okay.
That you're redoing constantly, but they're also giving you things where you have to use your mind, even though you're exhausted, where you have to find booby trap landmines. You wow. can't go in certain areas because it's swamps, or swamps as they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want you to do that because they want to get you past the mind threshold where you say, I can't, but you can. You just got to know you're there, your team is there, and you can do it. You just have to have the strength.
It's amazing that, you know, the Marine Corps has been around, it's over 100 years, I believe.
Almost 250.
Oh, my God, I'm way off, over 250.
Yep.
I mean, that says so much, and some of the most tactical and most badass, you know, servicemen and women out there for 250 years. So going through that, how long, you're in the service, like, so once you get out of boot camp, what is that journey like?
I went reserves.
Okay.
At the time, I found out that my fiance was pregnant with my daughter, so I went reserves. And when you graduate boot camp, you go to MOS training, which is your specialty.
Okay.
I was a bulk fuel specialist, basically anything that takes fuel, helicopters, jets,
okay,
vehicles, anything.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We played with 1,000-pound bladder of jet fuel, diesel fuel, all kinds of things like that. So once you do that, the 13 weeks boot camp, then it was 13 weeks of MOS training, and I did that at Fort Lee, Virginia. So I went from Parris Island to Fort Lee, Virginia.
Yeah.
Then I came back home, and my reserve unit was in Philadelphia.
Okay. Your time in the reserves, imagine, you know, in your time in the service in general, you probably made some close friends.
Absolutely.
Is there any one in particular you wanted to maybe to shout out?
There's actually a couple. Adam Barr, he is a realtor in Harrisburg.
Okay.
One of the gentlemen that in 2001, he was, my unit at the time, was shipped overseas. He was killed in service.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you his first name anymore. He's been long time.
A little bit of time now. Yeah.
But Sergeant Sherman was one hell of a man. But I speak with a couple of guys. They're actually in Lebanon that were in my unit. So we're still when close. I run into them, we're still a good bunch.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And I think the whole message is in your life and your story is it's about we, it's about the team. You know, you're absolutely not alone. Now, if you wouldn't mind, you know, you said your unit got deployed. Mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit about what that is like? Because a lot of, again, civilians, a lot of listeners don't know what it's like overseas and what it's like to be, you know, stationed somewhere.
So I was actually in recovery from knee injuries, so I was not shipped over. It's crazy, though, when 9/11 happened.
That's right. That would have been around that yep. time. Yeah.
I get the call from my first sergeant, and mind you, he tore me up from one butt to another.
Why?
Because at the time, he didn't realize I was out on injury, and he thought I just didn't show up.
Oh.
So when I got down there,
yeah,
we had a nice conversation. Yeah. I say that jokingly. But again, being a first sergeant, he is roughly 3-4 levels from top of the line.
Oh, wow. So he's up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's put at least 20 years in.
Wow.
So once he realized what was going on, you know, we talked, and awesome man.
Mm-hmm.
But the unit was deployed for, I believe, I want to say 8 months. I can't remember exactly. But when they came back, they had lost three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was, and they went, it sounds like almost right over after 9/11, yep. which I think was, if I remember, some of the most brutal, you know, yes, fighting and everything. Wow. That is, it's wild to think because, you know, now in 2025, but like 9/11, for people that live through it, because it's, you know, now there's the next generations, right, that weren't there around. Like, I remember watching on TV, you know, when the towers got hit.
Oh, I can tell you where I was, everything. I could tell you almost every second as that happened.
It was wild. I mean, I was third grade when it happened, so they didn't show up much, you know. Sorry. Yeah, a bit younger, I guess. Yeah.
You're showing my age here.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, you look great, you know. You look great. Yeah, I mean, people look at me and they're like, is he, you know, 47 or what? How old is this? Because I'm bald. And I'm graying a little bit, let's be honest. But, you know, I do. Yeah, I think almost everyone does. But it's crazy to think that there's like a generation now that didn't, you know, live through that. There is so much to talk about. You know, you're also currently fighting cancer. And yet your focus seems to be on helping others feel loved and supported, you know. I want to talk about like where that strength comes from and that selflessness. But before we do that, I want to take a quick sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. So to pick back up when you got out of the Marines, take us from like that standpoint up until you're diagnosed with cancer, which you're currently fighting. And again, your main focus is not so much on yourself, but it's on letting other people know and making sure they feel supported and loved. And, you know, where does that kind of come from? So let's start with your journey from Marine to where you are now.
All right.
Perfect.
So when I got out of the Marine Corps, I just kind of came home and just went into working. I went into warehouses, security, armed security. I just kind of did a little bit of everything. Got divorced from my ex-wife now, who has blessed me with two beautiful children, my daughter and my son. And, you know, I just kind of went through life. I worked and that's really all I did. And up until I truly, about 2.5 years ago, got a call from Dollar General Management. I had applied for a store manager, just kind of as a joke, thinking, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And when he called, he's like, I have a store for you. Are you interested? Well, of course. And when I went into the store, I looked at it and said, okay, I need to do something, because I had, like, you could barely walk in the store.
Wow. Yeah. Needed some work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I blame nobody, including, the ex-manager or nothing. It just wasn't for them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went in, I've always looked at a job, and when I interview with someone, it's, I'm not here for the job I applied for. I'm here for your job. So my drive is always, I want to move up. I want to make better for myself, my family, and I want to do better for you.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
So
you don't hear that much lately, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, every job that I've tried to get to, I've almost stepped into management, because I won't quit. So when I took the store over, I was there about 3 days, and the manager walked up and dropped the keys in my hand and said, I quit.
Whoa, 3 days?
Yeah.
Here's the reins. Good luck. You right? Know, here it is.
I didn't know nothing about the computers, nothing yet.
Brand new.
Really?
Yeah.
But we took it over, and for 6 months, my team and I, and I had to say my team, because I couldn't have done it myself. They worked just as hard as I did, and we cleaned it up. Jonestown, PA, shout out to you guys, because if it wouldn't have been for you guys supporting me doing it, I couldn't have done it. And then when we got that going, I was there right around 6 months when I started the issue with my cancer.
And what year would this be, roughly?
That would have been 2023.
Okay. Okay. So fairly recent. And would you say issues, what, if you don't mind sharing?
Not at all.
Yeah, please.
I love the story, because that's kind of where the whole story begins on what I want to do.
Yes, yeah.
So out of the blue, I just started getting headaches at 3 a.m. on the dot every night for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And they were like someone was putting a nail in my head. Never thought two things about it, because 2 years before, I had had bariatric surgery to get off all high blood pressure, all that medicine, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I was at work one night, and I hadn't told my wife what was going on. I just suffered through the headaches at night. Well, I was at work, putting something on top shelf, and I started blacking out.
Whoa.
Almost like the movie Pixels, where you see the pixel come down. That's mm-hmm. what it was like.
Whoa, scary. And
yeah, it was. Well, I went home. I could not shake this headache. So she recommended test your blood sugar. I did. My meter read 600, which, if you know anything about diabetes, that should have been diabetic coma.
Because it's very high, right?
Very.
It's very high, yeah.
And this is my absolute favorite part. She looked at me and goes, okay, you have two options right now. I take you or you go by ambulance. Well, me being a man, me being a Marine.
Stubborn, I imagine.
I'll retest. We'll go Monday.
Oh, no.
No.
Good.
She
Good
goes,
for you, Amber. Yeah.
You have A and B and that's it.
Yeah,
so,
you're going.
Yeah, she took me to Good Sam. Good Sam did their miracle. And then within 45 minutes, I had been told by one of the PAs, we see something on your CAT scan. We can't tell you what it is because we don't know yet, but we need to get you to someone that can. I was on my way to Hershey 45 minutes later.
Whoa.
By ambulance.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, so that was a Saturday, September 2023. And got to Hershey. I had to wait till Monday morning for the brain surgeon to come in to explain what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
He walked in Monday morning and said, pulled up the MRI and said, you have a brain tumor. Well, I'm looking at him, yeah, okay, it's sure.
Right.
He's like 99% sure you have a brain tumor. We have to get it out. Okay. What I didn't realize, it was a golf ball sized tumor.
Whoa.
And it went from zero to golf ball in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
Yes, sir.
Holy cow.
It was pushing my brain 3 inches over. So it was literally smashing.
Yeah.
And when he was done telling us that, she was in the room with me. He's like, we have a week. You have to get it out. Apparently, I was within days of having massive seizure, which could have ended everything.
Everything. Wow.
So, we God waited that week.
You're going to the hospital. Yeah, thank absolutely. God. But continue. I'm sorry. Yeah.
They sent me home.
Okay.
The worst part about it, the scariest part about it, I should say, I had my first surgery that week after on my oldest son's birthday.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I took the surgery as, okay, you know, we got to do it.
Yeah, has and to be done, right.
Right away, we had, Hershey has the absolute best team. There was a trial team to kind of fight the cancer. They're like, would you like to sign up for a trial to try and help other people? Absolutely. And what they did was 3 days in, they cut me open on my stomach and put two vials after they took the tumor out.
Right.
Put two vials under my stomach muscles and left it in for 2 days. And what they were trying to do is get my body to attack the cancer tumor, but it has to cross what's called the blood-brain barrier.
Okay.
And some medicines work, some don't. So it was a blind trial. I don't know if I got the medicine or not, but I did get the vials put under.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us into probably the strangest but most dramatic part of my faith story.
Yeah, please.
So I was in the hospital 3 days, and the fourth night, I looked at their nurse and said, I don't know if I could do the second surgery. I mean, I wanted to go home. You know, I was scared. I was on medicine.
Right.
And then the medicine gives you some vivid, vivid dreams.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And when I told the nurse, she's like, yep, we'll get the doctor in as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm.
He came in that morning before the second surgery. Now, this is one of the busiest brain doctors in PA.
Okay.
He came in my room with not only the aura of peace, but comfort. He came in the room, pulled up a chair beside my bed, and sat with me for 20 minutes.
Wow.
Crossed his legs and just talked.
Yeah.
Like he had nothing else to do that day.
Right.
And when he walked in the room, every bit of uncomfortable desire gone. Like, he just brought everything with him of comfort.
Peace, comfort.
Absolutely.
Positive vibes. Absolutely. Just everything about him. Yeah.
So, you know, we got through the second surgery, no problem. A couple days later, went home. Recovery for that surgery was snap, like that was easy.
Yeah.
And you know, we're here. That was October of 2023.
Okay.
Made it through 2024 until October, where I had my second brain surgery. Yes, sir.
All right.
That was, the surgery was the same, real quick, simple. I'd say quick, simple.
Yeah.
But the uncomfortableness never came back. I had found who I needed to be, mm-hmm. who I was, and I had found my faith. So to give you an idea,
please.
I love telling this part of the story. As my neuro-oncologist showed me on an MRI scan, I am now missing a bit of my brain that is 4 inches long. Basically, your index finger.
Okay.
The full length of your index finger. The tip of it deep. And 2 digits high. That's how much they've had to take out into 2 surgery.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I would not know any of this. Like, you know what I mean? You're normal, you talk, everything's normal, but they took that much out.
Yep. I've been very, very blessed with it. And that's another part that really drives me, because there's so many that have it worse. And they feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know what? If you're alone, if you feel alone, did you forget that your light is so important to someone else? So, why not? Let's shine it.
Yeah.
Shine it like the sun.
100%. 100%. And Mike, throughout your story here, saying about, you know, the surgeries and everything, you mentioned, you know, family and faith a lot, right? Is there, you know, your family, your son, your daughter, care to shout them out? Go talk a little bit more about, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about your family, if you don't mind, and go more in depth on your faith and what it means to you. And I've had guests on where they say, oh, I found my faith. What is that experience like, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. So my daughter is Kaylee Alexis. She lives in Maryland. Okay. With her, I don't want to say it. I don't know if he proposed to her or not. I think he wants to.
Okay.
But she has blessed me with 2 beautiful grandbabies.
Oh, phenomenal. Congrats.
And then my son lives with my ex-wife at the moment. He's doing phenomenal.
Good.
He's probably going to make more in the next 5 years I did in my entire life.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Good.
But hey, the young man works his butt off. And I will give a shout out to my ex and her husband, because they raised both my kids and they have done amazing.
Yeah.
And my 2 boys that live with us, Austin and Colton, normal teenager, almost teenager, but they're great boys.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Jonestown Compass on Facebook, y'all have seen me advertise for him wanting to work. I promise he does. He's just a teenager. And then I'm sorry, what was the other?
No, shout out to the family. And then, you know, it's because I think I've mentioned this before in the podcast where, you know, it truly takes a family. You know, you have your rock, your people you can rely on, you know, close friends and your family. But then, you know, segue from that to your faith. And what was the moment during, whether it was back in the Marines or going through these surgeries, that you really dove in and found your faith?
The crazy thing, growing up, dad always took me to church, as I have told my church. I was that teenager falling asleep in pew. You know, your parents smacking you as you fall asleep.
I know what you mean, yep.
I always thought I had my faith. I was a Christian. And up until when that doctor came in with the peace,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have nothing. He brought that peace. He brought the angels, the hands that just said, here we are. And from that moment, I've told my wife so many times, between him and her being here for me, I couldn't do this. I could not have done any of this. But she has been the rock that I was for 20 years, because we've been through some rough times. What family doesn't?
Yeah, for sure.
And then when this hit us, she doesn't realize how strong she actually is.
Yeah.
So she held us together, holds the house together when I couldn't.
Amber's your rock.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned, you know, letting your light shine. And there's a, I might get it wrong, but there's a song I know from back in, you know, CCD class and such. This Little Light of Mine. I don't know if you remember it, you know. Sometimes I sing it. I have a soon-to-be 3-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old at home. And, you know, so you sing these kind of songs and such. But I think that is so true because a lot of times you forget, like, life is so precious, right? And your time on earth here with loved ones is so precious. I mean, it's the most valuable thing really we have. And sometimes we forget, but yet when you say like, let your light shine, don't be scared to let it shine and speak on, you know, on what you're doing. Talk a little bit more about that if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So for me, once I got diagnosed, I stepped down from the Dollar General store I was working, and I had my drive, I had Marine, you know, but the community came to me, and they were like, we support you, we hope you're doing great. So that really made me start thinking, okay, maybe I was here for a reason. It took a little while for me to accept I had to retire. I couldn't do what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But once I realized that I'm going to kick cancer's ass.
Yeah.
I don't care what it takes. I tell my wife, Amber, she's stuck with me for another 50 years.
Let's go, Mike. I like it. Yeah. Yeah.
And my doctors are right with me. They're like, we're fighting.
They got your back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that just really keeps me going. And I've had so many people reach out and be like, you're an inspiration because you keep fighting. But I want to let everybody understand that if you feel I'm the inspiration, you can be it too. But you have to remember, take care of yourself first. Recharge your batteries. A phrase that I saw on Facebook, we don't throw the flashlight away when it goes dim. We put new batteries in it. Well, if you forget to collect little stuff that makes you smile, if you forget that belly laugh in the middle of the grocery store and you hear that kid giggle, guess what? That laugh may be what saves someone or helps them find their light out of that dark cave. And I try and teach my boys the same thing. Don't be afraid to be who you are. But remember, be the light. Let it shine. And if you outshine your neighbor, that's fine. That just means 2 or 3 people can shine.
Yeah.
There's nobody better than anybody except let's do it.
Let's do it. Right. It's all a team.
Absolutely.
We're all in it together. We're all on this earth together, you know, and why not? If your light shines, then maybe you encourage, like you're saying, encourage someone else and then their light shines.
And exactly.
And if their light shines brighter, and it's not a bad thing, you know, it grows. So, you know, we've mentioned like your light matters and your life. What does that mean to you personally?
So for me, it's, and it's strange because when I was working, I'm always, because of the Marine Corps, always had that team mentality. But once cancer hit and I realized, one, my wife wasn't going to run, because, I mean, people that are dealing with sickness and everything, you understand the fear of the lethality of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had so many people that are still fighting. And they're like, okay, let's keep going. So we do. The more I can fight, the more I can help someone remember we're a team. We're going to do it.
And being on this podcast, you know, sharing your story will only help inspire others, you know. And as I might have mentioned on previous episodes, any listener is more than welcome to be a guest on the podcast. I mean, I didn't know you since, you know, maybe an hour ago when you and Amber walked in, you know, now here we are talking, and it just goes to show, like, we're all human. I think some of the basic needs, you know, you all want to feel loved and heard, you know, and appreciated. And it's like, to share stories that inspire others, that's what it's all about. And I wanted to ask, do you have a story of someone you've helped or someone who's helped you that really sticks with you?
I do. And this, when I fill out the questionnaire for coming on here, it actually slipped my mind, and it's crazy that it did. I believe it was 2019, roughly.
Okay.
I was working at a store in the area, Anvil area, and I personally found someone who had tried to commit suicide. And when I say that, I mean he did it on that property. I found the young man.
Can you, when you found him, what was, maybe elaborate, if you could, a little more on what did you walk up to? What were you seeing?
He had tried to, well, he had shot himself.
But it was a failed attempt, thank God. Okay. So you come up, you know, he just tried to commit suicide. What goes through your mind? What do you do? Luckily, you were a Marine, so you have a lot of experience,
exactly,
a lot of training.
What helped, yeah.
Keep calm under pressure.
Soon as I realized what happened, and part of that story is where I was working, there was always the noise. And for some reason, I knew someone was in the pistol range. And it went silent for not abnormal if you're reloading or anything like that. Well, something in my head said there's something wrong. So I went in and he had tried to commit. Instantly, Marine Corps kicked in. I needed the battle dressing. I need to keep him talking. I need to keep him alive. And because of the team at the range and myself, he is alive.
Wow.
He is a very productive young man in the Hershey area. And he has made an amazing thing of his life. But he hit rock bottom because he felt alone. I don't ever want to see that for anybody.
Right. If you can be a light for others, like we've been saying throughout this whole episode, if you can be a light and help others out of a dark place, you know, and inspire others. And I think it's so important too, because I've had other guests on that have mentioned, like, you know, you mentioned, you know, being males, you know, being guys, you know, we don't say love you, buddy, or hey, I love you, but it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. Call your buddy up, call your friends, you know, check in on them and just see what they're up to, especially if you haven't talked to them in a while. Hey, don't be afraid to say, hey, love you, bud. Hope things are going well, you know, because that could save someone's life, if we're being honest. You know, it really could. Let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. But like, looking back at everything, your service, you know, your battle with cancer, saving, you know, helping save a life, your mission to help others, you know, how do you define strength today?
Defining strength. So let me be absolutely clear on my battle and my want to help everyone. I don't want a single person to think that any of what I myself or any person battling anything, that this is easy. What a lot of people don't know is, unless they've been following me on Facebook, I have lost vision in my left eye. I'm partially blind in it. I can't drive. And I'm dealing with loss of sensation, kind of paralysis, I guess, on my left side. But that's because the tumor I had was on my right side.
Okay.
Your right side brain handles everything on your left side.
I did not know that. Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing easy about what I'm going through, what my family is going through. But I want to fight because there's a purpose for me to be here. There's a purpose for all of us to be here. We just have to open our eyes, look for the signs, and it will find you. To me, that's a strength. Don't be afraid to look. Don't be afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to talk, you know, like we're doing here. You know what I mean? Share your stories. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, love and you know, Amber being your rock and having a family and a tight-knit community and a team. Being married for over 16 years, if I'm correct, and, yes, and together for 22, you know, what have you learned about love and loyalty through life's toughest moments?
Laugh. Laugh, laugh. Don't ever stop laughing. We had a vow renewal last year. We were planning it before I got hit with cancer, but we were blessed by a group that gave us a full-blown vow renewal. What people don't know is I got my wife with the best joke that she'll never be able to top. We'd set our vows. My youngest son was wearing a security vest. He was our ring guard.
Ring guard, I love that, yeah.
Well, what she didn't know is I had handcuffs on his vest. So when our preacher said, "You can give the rings," I put handcuffs on her.
That's awesome, yeah.
And
yeah, that's great.
You know, if you can't laugh at life, even in the dark moments.
Can you bring, yeah, Amber's going to bring the picture over. I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Wow. What a moment, you know, what a moment
it was,
that
it
is.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And that's funny. You were probably laughing. Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's great. Because no one would see that coming, but that's
I didn't phenomenal. Even tell my youngest son what I was doing, except I told him he needs to stand there and wait for me to open up the handcuff pouch.
Oh, look at him. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Amber's showing pictures on the phone, but you were going to say in your darkest moments.
Yeah. Just you have to laugh. Through this whole battle with me, I buy shirts that they just explain joking. One of the shirts, and I took it to my brain doctor, said, "I survived brain surgery. All I got was this stupid shirt."
Right. Yeah.
I've made shirts off Snapchat with my face. "I survived chemo, too many rounds." Like, you've got to laugh. And that's what's going to help you recharge who you are and what you need to be. Your family, your friends, they need you. Whether you realize it or not, they need you. And that's where it comes from.
That's it. And like you said, they need you. You might feel alone, you know, or in a dark place, but there's people out there that you are their light and they need you and they
and
look
you
up.
You don't even know. It may be somebody you don't even know.
Right. So how can you put that light out when you have people that are looking up to you? You know, they look to you. So I think, you know, this story, I'm so glad that you did reach out on Facebook and hope others take the same, you know, reach out. Direct message me, email me. I mean, that's what you did. You just sent me a direct message, and here we are, and, you know, sharing this story. So if there are other listeners out there, please don't hesitate. You know, let's connect. And I wanted to ask, how can our listeners, Mike, follow along on your journey and connect with you on the interwebs?
When this all started, my wife made a Facebook page, one that's exactly my journey.
Perfect, yeah.
But then about a year ago, maybe, once I started getting my chemo every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because I go for infusions every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
And we started taking as I call it, little trinket bags to the infusion rooms for the kids up in Hershey. So we created a page called Healing Haven.
Okay.
And all it is just little stuff for kids to do while they're sitting there getting their infusion, because some of them are in there for 4 to 12 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
And I just want to bring a smile to them, to let them know, let the families know, it's okay. We'll get through this. We go up every 2 weeks. We take them up as much as we can. Hershey is amazing. Now they have to verify to make sure you're not just taking junk up, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Completely understand. And we've never been able to meet any of the kids that get the bags because of the HIPAA laws and all that, right. Which, again, totally understand.
Makes sense, yeah.
But you think about it, if we take about 20 to 30 bags every 2 weeks. If we hit 100 kids, that's 1,000 smiles that even if they just flick that little rubber ninja that sticks in the wall.
Right.
It's a smile that they can have fun while they're sitting there.
What an impact. I mean, that impacts, and that was something that you came up with.
This beautiful woman.
Man, that's phenomenal. I mean, you know, because it's like, yeah, how can people, so if people wanted to donate, yeah, please, what's the link? What is it called on Facebook? I'm sorry. So it's Mike's Fight Against Brain Cancer. That's one of the pages.
Yeah, that one is my exact journey.
Your journey, your story, yes, okay. And I'll put the link to that in the show notes for the listeners. And then if people wanted to donate, can they donate toys or how does that, how does that work? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's we've had a lot of people donate crayons. We have had money donations.
Okay.
Because obviously we have to buy all the stuff.
Right.
And I could not thank enough people because they've been amazing.
Yeah.
And I love posting on Facebook about it because I want them to remember, yes, you donated, you brought this smile on. You know, you may have helped that little kid. Hey mom, we can do this.
They're not alone, right? It's a light. Absolutely. You know, it's someone's caring, a complete stranger, a complete person they don't know, took the time to donate, give those items to you, and then you're then you're giving them to these children that, you know, like you said, 2, 4, 6, 8 hours, 10 hours, however long they're there. And that was Healing Haven, if I believe, right?
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. Phenomenal. I mean, that's amazing, you know, especially for young kids, because you don't really always think about it. You know, it's not on people's minds sometimes. And
that's it.
To bring it to the forefront. And like I said, just your story in general, Mike, you know, I think will help a lot of people. Before we close out, though, is there anything else that you'd like the listeners to know that I might not know or we might have missed?
Honestly, I don't want, through this whole thing, my story, my pages, as much as I share on Facebook, I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to just push anything. I just want everyone to understand that to do this as a person, as a father, as a husband, we can all do this. And if anyone ever wants to meet up just to have a conversation, please do. There is one other thing while I'm thinking of it.
Yes, please.
As of right now, August 2nd,
okay,
we are having a, as I call it, a celebration of life potluck dinner.
Ooh.
All I need is information. If you want to come, it is in Myerstown, PA. Bring some food. Let me know what you want to bring. Whether you are dealing with cancer, loss of suicide, anything, if you have dealt with loss, if you feel alone, come on in. Bring some food. Let's eat. Let's celebrate. Let's have fun. Let's laugh.
Yeah.
Right now there has not been a lot of interest in it. I know everybody's on vacation.
Summertime. Yeah.
If we have to postpone it, we will. and let's do it.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
We can, if there's ever a question on where or if you're interested, I can get you the address.
Perfect. Yeah, that's it. Go, Facebook, right?
Yes, sir.
Message DM. Excellent. To learn more about Mike, support his mission of hope and love, check out the links in the show notes. And if today's episode resonated with you, please share it, leave a review, and follow American Grown Podcast for more stories from the heart of our community. And really, guys, the listens is phenomenal, but the reviews definitely help the podcast reach a new audience. So please share it and leave a review if you can. But Mike, I'm going to close it out. Anything else?
No, sir. We're good.
Excellent. So, Mike, thank you for your service. Thank you for your openness of sharing your story. Your story is a reminder that courage isn't always about the battlefield. It's about standing in the gap for others, even while fighting your own. If you're listening and you're struggling, remember what Mike said. Your light matters, even if you don't see it yet. Mike Deckert, U.S. Marine and Cancer Warrior, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.